From NBC Sports Philly, Dave Zagaro with us. Dave, welcome back. Great to have you with us on this July day.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, so off to camp we go. Hi-ho, hi-ho. So after Jalen Hurts, which is the obvious answer, what are you going to look for?
Yeah, that's the obvious answer. Next to me is the battle at left tackle. I know that offensive line doesn't get a lot of people excited, but this is a legitimate battle. I mean, this is, and it's, I mean, the storylines here are a lot of fun. You have a former first-round pick who a lot of people are already counting out, who missed all of last season, against a seventh-round pick who was a rugby player when the Eagles drafted him, has all the potential in the world. And that battle kind of feels like it's a battle not just for the left tackle job this year, but going forward. It kind of feels like whoever wins this job is the Eagles' left tackle, and there aren't many competitions, training camp battles that are really like that. So for me, Andre Dillard versus Jordan Mailata is must-see every day.
What do you need to see from Jalen Reagor during the preseason? Because obviously last year as a first-round pick, it just wasn't a terrific year. So what do you want to see?
Yeah, it wasn't. I think with Jalen Reagor, a lot of it was mental. And that's not a knock on him. He's a young kid coming into a tough situation. But I think it can kind of go one of two ways with him. We know he reads stuff. We know he's active online and on Twitter, and he knows what people are saying about him. Now, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I know everyone's first initial reaction to that is block it out, don't listen to it. Some guys use it. And I think for him, it's really about channeling it the correct way. And if he can do that, then I think he can make it a positive. And I just want to see him play looser. Last year, it just looked like he wasn't himself. He wasn't the dynamic, explosive player he was at TCU. It looked like he was kind of overthinking at times, and that happens a lot with young players where they're thinking more than they're reacting, thinking more than they're allowing their ability to shine through. So some of this is also incumbent on the coaching staff to say, hey, we want to get this guy involved. We think he can do this, this, and this. And now Nick Sirianni has to look at it and figure out ways to get Jalen Reagor involved. If that means a shallow crosser, so be it. If that means a wide receiver screen, just ways to get the ball in his hands and let him create, let him feel comfortable, I think that'll go a long way. So it's not all on Jalen Reagor. I think most of it is, but the coaching staff can help him out a little bit more this year, too.
You can grow into any job. Sometimes there's an adjustment period. Nick Sirianni has not been a head coach. What are some of the signs that you'll be looking for that he's really into the job, understands the job, or the signs that there's some on-the-job training because he hasn't done it before?
Yeah, I mean, some of those things we won't be able to see until the actual season begins. I mean, A big part of the head coach's responsibility is in-game management, and we really won't see that in the preseason because he's going to handle situations differently than he would in the regular season. But there are some things we'll see. I mean, and honestly, we've already seen some of them. You know, the high-energy stuff that some people might have rolled their eyes at, so far it seems like at least a lot of his veteran players are buying into that, and that's a big deal. I think that when you hear about how excitable he is and you hear him in press conferences talk, and obviously the first one, that's a mulligan. But after that, I think people in the area have kind of really enjoyed hearing him talk because he is so excited and he has such a passion. From what I hear, that's really kind of translated to his team, and they feel it too. So I think that goes a long way, as long as he's authentic about it, to kind of taking command of the team. So far, so good there. You kind of have to separate a head coach into a lot of different facets because they're not just one thing. He's going to be calling plays too, and we won't really know that until game day. But we'll see some of the offense, and we'll see his plan for what the scheme looks like, and that's another big part of his job. So I think that by the end of training camp, we'll have a better sense of who he is as a head coach, but not the complete picture.
Do you have a sense of his relationship with Jalen Hurts, or does that fall into what you just said, we'll see by the end of camp?
Yeah, I mean, so far, so good for that, honestly, from everything I've heard. Look, Jalen Hurts last year was forced into an offense, obviously a really awkward position, but he was in an offense that wasn't tailored to his strengths. And that's the one thing we've heard from Nick Sirianni since he took the job, was that whoever the quarterback is, and whoever any of the players are, the offense is going to be tailored around their skills. So I'm excited for Jalen Hurts for that, because I want to see what kind of offense Nick Sirianni has devised for him. And we can take certain hints from Indianapolis, mainly when Jacoby Brissett was their quarterback, because he offered a little bit with his legs, and Andrew Luck to a certain extent too. But there's a lot to like about Jalen Hurts. There's a lot to build on. There's a lot to kind of put into your offense because of what he brings. And I think he does obviously have some deficiencies, and it's up to the head coach to try to hide those as well. So I think the relationship is off to a good start, but I want to see the football relationship now. I want to see what these two can do together in at least a practice setting and eventually in a game setting.
Jalen Hurts has gone through, four games as a starter, some limited time in other games. So as we watch the first month to 6 weeks of the season, Jalen Hurts will be better if. What will that be? Based on what you saw last year, where does he need to be better and something we should look for in the first 6 weeks?
Yeah, and it's funny because the first thing I thought of wasn't even anything that he can control, but honestly, it starts if his offensive line stays upright. That'll help him out quite a bit.
Right. No question.
That was kind of the downfall of the offense last year, in my estimation. It wasn't. I mean, Carson certainly didn't play well, and the receivers weren't good enough. But when the offensive line started to get hurt, that's really where things started to spiral. Jalen Hurts himself, he needs to be a better thrower, and I know that sounds like a pretty obvious thing. He needs to be a better passer. He needs to be more accurate. And there were some factors that led to his accuracy issues last year. I mean, he was throwing the ball downfield quite a bit, and he had the same receivers Carson had. That, you know, they weren't always running the crispest routes. They weren't always where they were supposed to be, and I think all those things hurt him. But Hurts has to be better. He knows he has to be better. Even with all those factors, you can't have a quarterback completing 52% of his passes. You're not going to win like that. But it can be corrected. We've seen quarterbacks have bad accuracy numbers and improve them. Heck, Carson did it. You know, even as good as his near MVP season was, the one thing he wanted to work on was the accuracy, and he improved it greatly in the next year. Josh Allen's another great example, had some accuracy issues early in his career, really turned them around. So I think that these are correctable issues, and we'll see if he's put the work in and if the team around him allows him to do it.
Yeah, my only issue on that, Dave, is simple. I mean, watching him in Alabama and Oklahoma, it's the same issue he's having now. He was not really a tremendously accurate quarterback at either place, especially when he got some pressure on him. So we'll see if he can correct that. I haven't asked you about the defense. So, on defense, must be better where?
It must be better at that cornerback position, specifically the second cornerback, and the Eagles have addressed it finally, bringing in Steven Nelson. It's a big signing for a lot of reasons, and the first of which is that Steven Nelson is a clear upgrade at that position from Avante Maddox, who was playing out of position last year and wasn't very good at that spot, frankly. The other reason it's good is because it's going to push Maddox back into the nickel spot, where I think he is much better suited. I think he's going to be a much better player at the slot and playing inside. Obviously, the size lends itself to that, but also the type of player he is, I think he's just a better inside corner. And then Zach McPherson, the rookie fourth-round pick, they'll be able to bring him along slower, because chances are they're going to need him at some point based on the injuries we've seen in the secondary over the last few years. So there are a lot of reasons I really like the Steven Nelson signing, a lot of reasons it made sense for a couple months, so them getting that done is a pretty big boost if they go to training camp.
Yeah, I like Zach, because he was here for a couple of years, and the only reason he ended up going to Texas Tech was because of a numbers game here. I mean, it's just the numbers were so great, the upward mobility wasn't there, and I was thrilled to see the Eagles pick him. You're gonna like him. He's a great guy to talk to, deal with. Okay. In the preseason, when they play the three preseason games, you and I both know it's just a mixed bag. But what will be anything that you're looking for? Maybe a guy as to whether he can make the team, or somebody who might get cut, or just is there anything in those three preseason games that you'll look for, even loosely, so you feel like it was productive?
Yeah, I mean, I think the preseason games will show some of that. Honestly, the joint practices to me are, I'd argue, more important than the preseason games, because if you want to see how someone responds in the red zone in a practice, you can put them in the red zone where you don't have to wait for a situation to unfold. But the preseason games will be a part of the evaluation, and there is something different about playing a game as opposed to practice. There are some guys who kind of flip a switch and they're just different in a game than in practice. So I think it gives more opportunities for some of those players to show out, and that's a good thing. And I think, you know, some players thrive. You know, if you think about it just in a generic sense, if you have some bruising running back who runs between the tackles, that can be an important player, but he's not going to get to show his stuff even in a joint practice. Even if you go full pads, tackle to the ground for a session, you're not getting that in practice. So I still think the preseason games are a valuable part of the evaluation. I don't know how long we're going to stick at three games. I think eventually we're probably going to push it down to two, but I still think there is value in having them. And I think the Eagles will find the value in that. I think that actual competition, as much as we laugh about preseason games, I still think there's value in it.
Dave, a pleasure as always. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. You guys take care.